Welcome to City Light Church. I hope you had just the greatest summer ever. But you know, it's good to be back, right? You know, and the church, this church is God's house, it's God's home. I want to say to you, welcome home. Welcome home to God's house. It's so good to be home, isn't it? You know, we were other places, but there's nothing like home. Okay, you know, I'm going to start a brand new series today, but first of all, I want to mention the new City Light apps. So that's a picture of this phone, and if you haven't downloaded it yet, do it. You can just go to your app store, download it. I love this app because you know there's things like a Bible. So if I'm somewhere and I don't have my Bible, I can just go to the Bible portion of the apps, and it's like the Bible on one page. You know, and you can go to just about any book, any chapter, and boom, it's right there for you. You can listen to messages, sermons. So we have podcasts, and they're not going to be on there a month or two later, but they're going to be there almost the very next day. Isn't that great? You know, I've had people say, I want to listen to the sermon, or can I tell somebody else, but where is it? I want to tell you, just download the app. Invite a friend. You can invite a friend. There's a place where you can just invite a friend. Find us on, like us on Facebook. You can message us. You can follow us. You can find out what's happening event-wise. You can just keep up to date. You can take notes while I'm preaching today, right? So use the app. Download the app. Invite others to download the app as well. You'll love the app. Amen? All right. Let's pray before we get into the Word this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love us so much. You know, we sang this morning about your incredible love for us and what you did for us. And really, truly, our soul loves and wants and desires you. And it longs to say hallelujah because of what you've done for us. And so today, as we sit in the presence of God and hear your message, I pray that today that we would, with willing hearts just surrendered, with loving hearts, we would receive it, we would believe it, and we would apply the word to our life so that it brings you glory and it blesses us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're starting a brand new series, and it's called Gear Up, Shift to Another Level. So we're talking about shifting to a new level in life. And today we have a sermon illustration, which is, it's not my bike, this is Alan's bike. Alan Ransier's bike. This is an awesome machine, isn't it? Should ask, Alan, why don't you just come up here? I just want to ask you a couple questions about this bike, okay? Do we have a mic here? What's that? Demonstration. Get on that bike and ride it. Okay, there we go. So, Alan, this is your. How long have you had this bike? Is this brand new bike?
I've had it actually for. This is about a year and a half.
Okay, I've got a mic. Oh, is it on?
Hello.
This is about a year and a half. Is it on? Is that green light on?
Check, check, check. Okay, hey, there we go. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so how many gears are in this bike? How many gears do you have?
You have got a total of 22 gears. So there's two sets on the front, and then there's 11 on the back.
Wow. Like recently I heard that, Alan, you completed this last summer, 135K road trip.
Yeah.
How long did that take you?
A couple of them.
Oh, two of them. Yeah. That's 270K in just two trips.
Yeah, it's a little bit. And, you know, generally something like that, as long as I'm not always getting flats, which I did last time, is about a six and a half hour ride.
6.5 hours.
Yeah,
on that.
That yeah.
Cushioned seat there. Now, 22 gears, 135K. Did you use, how many gears did you actually use? What do you think, how many gears did you use?
At the end of the day, pretty much any ride that I do, but that ride in particular, I used every single gear.
Yeah, so I was going to say, like, is every gear necessary on this
absolutely,
bike?
Absolutely, absolutely. So if I'm climbing a big stinky hill, I need to go to the smallest possible gears,
yep,
otherwise...
Gear down.
Burton, you can attest to this from yesterday. You kind of crawl down, and it gets a little painful, right? Whereas if you're going down the hill, you want to use the fast gears so you can go like stink.
I was going to ask you a question. You completed 135K in about 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
Would you have been able to do that if you only had one gear?
Absolutely not.
You'd have never made it.
No. When you're climbing up hills that can have 10 to 12% grade, to be in a big gear is going to be brutal. I guess you could do it if you were in the small gear the entire time, mm-hmm. but then it would probably take you about, I guess it would be 12 to 14 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Alan, you're awesome. How many, one more question. How many kilometers have you ridden this summer? What would you say? Or this year even?
This year, okay.
This year.
It's actually been a slow year, strangely enough, and it's been a 3,100 kilometers is what I've done.
Can you believe that?
Last year's been my best year, and that was just under 6,000.
So. Wow, that's like all the way across Canada.
It's fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Is. Wow, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Alan for the sermon illustration. Alan's bike cost a few $1,000. He said he's going to give it to me right after today. Oh, no, you didn't know that, did you? Oh, no, okay. All right. Okay, folks, it's on the sermon, right. That's what it's for. All right. Well, I think it's an awesome sermon illustration, right? We're talking today about shifting gears, going to another level in life. You know, I believe that God is continuously, he's working in us, he's working on us. You give your heart to Christ, you come into the kingdom, really, he never really leaves you alone, does he? He's always after you, isn't he? He never leaves you. Aren't you glad he never leaves you alone? You know, starts this one day. But he's always up. He's continually working in you, on you, challenging you, right? To shift. And when we allow shifts, we get things like a new attitude or a new perspective. Or we end up getting new habits and we make better choices. When we allow shifts in us, listen carefully. When we allow shifts in us, then God can make shifts through us, and he can make shifts for us. If you read your Bible, it's all about God shifting things for people and his people. The Bible is full of stories of shifts, and we're going to read one of those stories. You know, shifts are powerful things. They can really impact you. God shifts in our lives can do stuff give us answers to prayer that we prayed for a long time. Or it can open up doors of opportunity. It can make impossible things possible, right? It can change circumstances in our life that totally change the course of our life. It does incredible things. A shift can bring healing into our life. A shift can restore things back to us that the enemy has stolen. You know, shifts are so just a part, are supposed to be a part of our life. Now, I want to tell you that I want to explain to you that a shift has three parts to it. There are three parts or three shifts almost every time in our life. And it's like three steps. Shift one, shift two. Two, shift three, okay? So, here are the shifts. The first shift that needs to happen is a shift in us. The second is a shift that happens through us. And the third part of a shift is a shift that God does for us. Let me illustrate that. Let's go right to the Word of God. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And it goes this way. Now, this is a story about Simon Peter and his fisherman friend. And we see these three shifts in this story of Simon. It starts out this way. Once when he is Jesus, was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, and the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God, he noticed two boats tied up, and the fishermen had just left them, and they were out scrubbing their nets. Now he climbed into the boat that was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Sitting there, using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. Now, when he finished teaching, he said to Simon, push out into deep water. Can we say those two words today? Deep water. Deep water. Push out into deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Now, here's the first shift. Here's the first shift. Simon said, Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, second shift, I'll let out the nets. Then the Bible says, it was no sooner said than done. Third shift happened. Huge shift happened. A huge haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. They waved to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Do you see the three shifts? A shift happened in them, then a shift happened through them, and then the shift happened for them. Do you see that? Do you see that in there? Here's another thing that I want you to see in the story. Jesus loves helping people. Jesus loves helping his friends. God loves to help people, especially when people get stuck in some place where they're just ready to give up. And maybe they've even relegated themselves to a low level of living, right? Jesus, God wants to help. But before he can help them, they had to do a couple of things. A couple of things before so that a divine shift of God could happen to them. Are you following me here? What I'm trying to say, it's not all up to God, it's not all up to him, and it's not all up to us. But we have to be open to God and obedient, right, to his guidance and his direction in our life, right? It's another thing I want you to see. Notice that Jesus didn't command them. He didn't command them. It was more like a suggestion. It was more like, hey, why don't you do this? See, that I believe that's the nature of God. Most of the time, that's the way it is. He never really demands anything of us, right? You know, when it comes to the things of life, when God wants to speak to us, usually it comes in the form of a prompting, maybe an impression from God, maybe a nudge, what we call a nudge, leading us, guiding us, right? Motivating us, reminding us really of what we already know, what we read about the Bible, we kind of know these principles, but he's kind of just reminds us, right? And he just brings it back to memory. And here's the thing, and when you agree this, and when you agree with this, when you agree with what God is showing you and telling you, that's when your life begins to shift. That's when your life gets traction. John chapter 21 is almost the same scenario. John 21 says, after this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. And this is how we did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee, James and John, right, and two other disciples, seven of them, were all together, and Simon Peter announced, I'm going fishing. Maybe he was saying, you know what? I'm going fishing. No, they were like, just going back to fishing. And the rest of them replied, we're going with you. They went out, they got into the boat. They caught nothing that night. And when the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, and they didn't recognize him. And Jesus spoke to them. Good morning. Hey, did you catch anything? Did you catch anything for breakfast? And they answered, No, I didn't catch anything. And he said, throw the net on the right side of the boat and see what happens. They did what he said. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Seven strong, burly fishermen couldn't pull the catch in. They were fishing all night. They were desperate. They were willing to do what almost anybody recommended and suggested. And Jesus says, hey, just throw your nets on the right side and see what happens. Just a shift. Just a shift. Not a big change. Not a big change. Just from one side to the other side. Right? I want to tell you in PowerPoint. I believe the greatest shifts of God is when we respond to Him are initiated by us. In other words, just one small step of faith, of obedience, right? And the same thing happened, right? Today we're talking about gearing up and shifting to another level. And today I want to really challenge you. You know, sometimes I look at my life and I think, you know, that person, they need to shift. They need to do more. They're doing too slow in their life. They need to do something. They need to do something better in their life. I think they. But God is saying, what about you? What about you, Doug? You know, this applies to me. I tell you, every part of this message is applying to me as well. Okay? Here's three questions that I've asked myself. Three questions that I want you to ask yourself. Are you ready? First question. What shift does God want to make in me? What shift does God want to make in me? Not him, not her, not brother, so-and-so, sister-so. What shift does God want to make in me? Second question. What shift does God want to make through me? What does God want to do through me that impacts other people, that impacts my community? What does God want to do with my life? What does He want to do through me? Third question, what shift does God want to make for me? Good questions. This is an incredibly awesome moment that we can respond to those questions right now. Right? What I want you to do right now is I want you to just get rid of everything else that's in your mind. And there might be a lot in your mind. Maybe there's nothing in your mind. Sometimes Karen says, what do you think about? And I say, nothing. Men can do that, right? But whatever's in your mind, clear it. And think about those three questions. What shift does God want to make in me? What shift and change and attitude? What do I need to respond to from God that the Holy Spirit, God, the Word of God is speaking to me? You know, what is it that even the circumstances of my life are suggesting to me, you know, that are part of my life, my destiny, my purpose? What is God saying to me? You know, what does God want to do in me? What does really God want to do through me? What is my purpose in my life? What am I created to do, God? God, what do you want to do for me? Right? What do you want to do for me? What dreams do you want to make come true, right? What things do you want me? Do you want to give me that I can bless other people with? Just think about those. This is a moment. This is a great moment, great opportunity to reflect. Okay, here's another thought in your PowerPoint. Don't assume that a shift has to be something big, something major. It doesn't have to be something big. Usually, it just starts up with just something small. Did you notice that? No, it doesn't have to be something like I got to move to another city now. No, I'm not saying that. Or what else? I got to totally change. I got to go a whole new career. I'm not saying that. Or I got to get a new wife. Or I got to get a new husband. I'm not saying that. Right? I'm not suggesting that to you at all. Right? But what I'm saying is, I believe that most of the time what God is saying to us is, what you're doing is right. What you're doing is good right now. But just do it in a different way. In a fresh way, a new way, a different way. And then just see what happens, right? For example, you're here in church. I want to tell you, that's right that you're here, and it's good that you're here. Do you believe you're out of the will of God being here this moment? You are totally 100% in the will of God. I know that for sure, right? Okay, so what you're already doing, you're already here in church, and that's good. Now do something new. It's like, get into a small group. Right? Get into a small group. Move, just move from the larger gathering to a smaller gathering where you can get together with people, you can interact, you can pray for each other, you can encourage each other, you can be open and honest with each other, you know. And somebody said, oh, but that's so scary. But I want to tell you, can I say this to you? It's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal, is it? And who knows what can happen to you? Who knows what it can lead to when you get involved in a small group? You know, did you ever hear that saying? Big things happen in small groups. Big things happen in small groups. Small groups change my life. You know why? Because that's where I met my wife. That was a life-changing experience for me. Who knows what could happen to you? You single people, get involved in a small group, right? And what I believe that God is saying here in this story, and I believe what the Holy Spirit is saying today, is don't get stuck in ruts. Break out of your ordinary routines. And here's another suggestion. Don't be inflexible. Don't be inflexible. I know people, they get up and they do the same thing every day. They have their toast, their coffee. They got to do this and they got to do that. Everything's kind of routine. If you suggest anything different to them, they get bent out of shape. They get upset. Oh, this is who I am. This is what I do. And I just like doing it. I'm comfortable doing it. And I'm going to keep on doing it, right? And they get bent out of shape. He said, well, I think you should change this and blah, 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 right? They get upset, right? You know, did you hear that saying? Blessed are the flexible because they don't get bent out of shape, right? Be flexible in your life. Jesus, you know that story in Luke chapter 5? Jesus mentioned deep water. Deep water, he said to Simon, the fisherman, push out into deep water. What is deep water? Here's what I believe deep water is. Deep water is, I believe, it can just mean a different approach, a different way that you do something. Maybe going further into what you're doing right now. Or risking more, taking a risk on something. Or just a change in the way that you do things. A change in methodology. Maybe that's all it is. And usually God is saying, keep on doing what you're doing, but do it in a new and a different and a fresh way, right? A better way. You know what I believe one of the biggest problems with Christians today is? Christians are bored. In fact, I think some Christians are the most boring people on the face of the earth. Some Christians, I don't want to get together with them because they are just plain boring, right? Boring. You know what? When you get into a routine and you're always doing the same thing all the time, guess what happens? You get bored. And when you get bored, you can also get critical. Isn't that right? Come on. I believe that's true, right? Well, life is so boring. I'm just bored. Same pastor, same church, same wife or same husband, same kids. I'm bored, right? And you can blame your boredom on other people, right? I just need something new. Can I ask you a question? If you're bored, how about changing you? How about getting a new you, right? I mean, if you're bored, why don't you take a look in the mirror and just take a good look in that mirror. Come on, admit it. You are boring. Get a life. Do something different. Dress different. Get a new hairdo. Go and do something that's risky. Further. Helps other people. Serve other people. Gift. I don't know. Get rid of your boredom, right? Do something different. That's all I'm trying to say. Life is so boring, but do something different. It's not the people around you that are boring. Don't blame them. Here's what you need to do. You need to ask God, what kind of shift do you want to make in me? Right? What kind of shift do you want to do through me? What kind of shift do you want to do for me, Lord? That's what we need to ask. You know, and I think about me. I want to use me as an example. Me, what? And I was when before I was married. I'll admit it. You know, I was an alcoholic. No, I'm not going to say I'm an alcoholic, although I did struggle with alcohol. But I want to tell you, I was a loner. I was what I called the one gear, one level person when it came to relationships. I didn't have any friends. And even the friends that I had, two bar buddies, it's just very superficial. We talked about cars and girls and money and all that kind of stuff, but we never went deep with each other. I was just not a people person until I met this incredible woman here, right? And Karen and I are opposites, right? Karen and I were total opposites. She loved hanging with people. I didn't. And she made me feel uncomfortable. You know why? Because she was beyond the place that I was at with people. Right? Can I say this to you? God does not want you to feel comfortable. I believe that God wants to make you feel uncomfortable. Would you agree with that? He wants you to feel uncomfortable. I don't, you know, I believe that we all need people. We all need people in our life who make us feel uncomfortable when it comes to routines. We need people in our life that open us up to new territories, that open us up to the suggestions and the impressions and the nudges of God in our life so that we do something new and different and fresh. Amen? We need to, I know what we need to do? We need to thank those people who do that to us, who challenge us and say, hey, come on, let's do something different. Why don't you come and join me? We need to say thank you. The point of this is this. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. Today I'm going to finish off this message. I'm going to challenge you, and I'm challenging myself in three areas of life. Three areas of life. Ready? Number one, don't get comfortable with small, safe prayers. And if you're like me, if you're like that, then it's time that we start praying prayers beyond our prayers. We need to pray prayers that take courage to pray. I believe that God wants us to pray in such a way that it literally moves Him, almost surprises Him that we're praying that. Would you agree with me on that? You know, we talk about praying. Society will tell you, oh, you shouldn't pray like that. You shouldn't pray like that. Like, God is so busy, He's managing the universe, and you're asking to do that for you? You know? I mean, you're asking God to open up doors for you and for your family? I mean, that's selfish. You know, most of the time, that comes from other Christians who want to just condemn you and make you feel like you should just keep your mouth shut and not ask God for much more for you, right? But you know what? That's not what the Word of God says, does it? What is the Word of God? The Word of God encourages us. Come boldly. He says, come, how? Boldly to the throne of God, our gracious God, and there will we receive His mercy, find grace to help us in our time of need. He says, the Bible says, come boldly. Come boldly asking. And Jesus repeats that in a different way in Matthew 7. Starting at verse 7, Jesus says, listen, keep on asking. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. And then He says this, because sometimes when you ask, you're going to get it. Is that what He said? He says, for some people, some people, God will answer your prayer. Is that what He said? No. What does He say? For everyone who seeks, what? Finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Wow. Everyone. See, you got to understand the nature and the heart of God towards you. You've got to understand that. And Jesus says right here, you parents, verse 9, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. Of course not. So, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Let's see. Can you say those two words with me? Much more. Much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him. Ask Him. God wants boldness. God wants bold, audacious prayers that even take courage to pray. Like this prayer, Joshua 10, verse 12. God wants those bold, audacious prayers that launch us into the deep waters of prayer. Joshua 10, verse 12, on the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord. He snuck into his little prayer closet so that nobody else could hear him. Just because God didn't answer that prayer so he wouldn't be embarrassed. Is that what the Word of God says? No. It says Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. And he said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon. And verse 13, so the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. And then it says right here, is this event not recorded in the book of Joshua? In the book of Joshua? Is it not recorded? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky. It did not set as on a normal day. And then it says in verse 14, there has never been a day like this before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Wow. Wow. Why is it that there's never been such a day like this? You know why, I think? Because nobody had the bravery and the courage and the audacity to pray such an incredible prayer. Sun, stand still prayers. Amen? That's what God wants. Bold, courageous. Sun, stand still prayers. Amen. Get a book written by Stephen Furtick. Sun, stand still prayers. Amen? Do you believe that God wants us to pray that way?
Yes.
Yes, I believe that. Thank you. I believe that God wants these bold, audacious prayers. Listen, everything that's written in the Bible is written for a purpose. And the purpose that God left this story, this incredible story of what happened when Joshua prayed, is to tell us and to show us that prayer is powerful. That God answers prayer. And not only does He answer bold, audacious, sun stand still prayers, He answers persistent prayers. He answers bold, daring, consistent, persistent prayers that you just don't give up. Jesus said if you can ask and you will receive, if you haven't received it, then you just go seeking God. Then if you go seeking God, if you still haven't found the answer, you don't give up. Then you're going to knock, knock, knock until the door opens. Amen? Till it opens. I heard a great story about this guy down in the States, a young guy. His name was Joe, and he lost his job. He was in the tech industry. And he lost his job. The economy went bad. He lost his job. He started putting out application forms. He put out 10. He put out 20. He put up 30. He put up 50, 40, 50. He didn't stop at 50. He put 50, 60, 70, 80. He put 99, but he didn't stop at 99. He put out 100 applications looking for a job all over the place. And on that 100th application, he got together with his small group, and they prayed for him. Within 24 hours, he got the job that he wanted. 24 hours. 1 month later, he got an incredible raise. Wow. Things like that happen in the place of prayer and a place of faith. Amen? God answers prayer, bold, audacious, persistent prayers. Amen? Second challenge. don't be comfortable with the reality that you're comfortable in the place that you're comfortable at. Did you follow me? Don't be comfortable. You know where you're at right now. God knows where you're at. You know where you're at. In your faith, in your passion for Jesus, in your trust in Him, in the way that you live for Him, and your commitment, you know where you're at. And maybe you're like me, you're not satisfied with where you're at. And maybe sometimes you're not happy. And maybe you're in a place you're downright depressed with the place that you're at. Or maybe you're that person, you've just relegated yourself, you just resigned yourself to the place that, you know what, this is the way it's always going to be. This is the way my life is always going to be. I'm always going to be behind the eight ball financially. I'm always going to be lonely. I'm always going to be, you know, in a place where, you know, I'm unfulfilled. I'm always going to suffer with this addiction. I'm always going to struggle with these habits. I'm always going to be depressed. You don't have to be there, right? You don't have to be there. Don't be comfortable with the reality that you're comfortable in the place that you're at right now. So the question is, what do you do? What do you do when you're stuck in this place? What do you do? Do you roll up into this fetal ball and suck your thumb and say, oh, poor me? You know, here's what I heard, and this is one of the best suggestions. I think it was Kenneth Copeland. You know what you do when you're in the times that you're in life, when you're in that place, you know what you do? You remind God of His promises. Remind God of His promises. Let me tell you, and this is for me too, for every problem that you have, God has a promise, an answer, a provision for you. Amen? You find the promise that fits your problem, and you pray it. Don't pray your problem. Pray the promise for your problem. Amen? Pray the promise. So powerful. You know what? That's biblical. We're supposed to do that. I want to take you right to Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6. Listen to what God says to these scriptures. I've posted watchmen on your walls. When we talk about watchmen, it's talking about people who pray. I posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. Day and night, they keep at it. What are they doing? Praying, calling out, reminding God to what? To remember. They are to give Him no peace until He does what He said He would do, what He promised to do, until He makes Jerusalem famous as a city of praise. Why would Jerusalem become a city of praise? Because of all the ways that God responded to their praise, they could not keep their mouth shut, praising and thanking God continuously, seven times a day, complete praise, whole praise, right? Perfect praise. God answers prayer. God doesn't forget, does He? God doesn't forget. But there's something that happens when we just go to Him and we just remind Him of His promises. You know what that sounds like? Sounds like this. God, You said that You would meet all my needs according to Your glorious riches through Christ Jesus. God, You said that no weapon forged against me would prosper. God, You said, with long life will I satisfy You, and by Your stripes I am healed. God, You said, Your favor lasts a lifetime beyond my mess-ups and screw-ups and blow-ups, beyond all that. God, You said it. Amen? Amen. God, You said it. Third challenge. Don't get comfortable with a no-risk kind of faith. No-risk kind of faith. It's time to have uncomfortable faith, radical faith, audacious faith. Kevin Gerald said, uncommon faith produces what kind of results? Uncommon results. Common faith says, God, oh God, just help me get through this. God, help me just to survive this so that when I end up leaving this life, that I just can limp over the or crawl over the finish line in heaven. Uncommon faith says, God, I know you can turn this thing around. You can turn it around for me, and I will see the blessing of God in the land of the living right here and now. Amen? And I will come out better, stronger, more blessed than ever, than I ever went through, than I ever was before I went through that. Amen? God has good things for us. God, you said, in all things, you would work out for good. You would turn things out for good for those who love you and been called according to your purpose, and that includes you. God, you said it, and I'm reminding you. Amen? Amen. You know, that's the challenge today. It's time for a shift. Amen? Time for a shift. Time to go a little bit further and just get out of your comfort zones. And, you know, I want to say this. Could the Holy Spirit be speaking to you? Could the Holy Spirit be speaking to you? You've been comfortable for too long. You know, it's time to do something with your life. It's time to move further. It's time to launch out into the deep and just see what God would do, right? Take a risk. Do more. You know, we're all in this process. And Paul said this. He said, in the book of Philippians, he said, let's take hold. He says, let's take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, right? Have you really taken hold of all of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you? I don't think so. Not for me yet. There's way more that I believe what God wants to do. So here's the challenge. Be bold. Be daring. Be bold, be daring. You know, do something different. Like maybe you're tired of your job, you're bored. Well, then maybe look for a different job. Here's something else you can do. You can join a small group, right? How about getting involved on a team, serving some area of ministry? You know, I believe that every member should be serving in some area of ministry. Do you know that? I believe that. You know? How about giving your heart to the house? How about giving your heart to the house and to the people that are in the house and start serving and giving and see what God would do through that ministry? Amen? I'm just challenging you. What is it that God wants to do through you? So those three questions again. Those three questions, can ask yourself. What shift does God want to make in me? What attitude do I need to change? You know, what mindset needs to be broken? What new perspective do I need to have? What does God want to do in me, in my heart? Then ask yourself, God, what do you want to do with me? What do you want to do through me? You know, how can I really bring life to other people? How can you use me to bring life to other people, to serve other people, to bless other people? And God, there are a lot of things I need, but what can you do for me, Lord? Right? What does God want to do for you? Amen? Is that a good challenge? I'm challenging you today, right? Let's be open to God. Let's shift to a new level. This is just day number one of this challenge. I want you to come back next week. I want to challenge you in a different area of life. Is that okay? Great. We need to be challenged. We need to move forward. Christians, I see today, we're stuck in these different places and we're just not very effective for God. It's because we have not responded to the shifts that God wants to make in our life. I believe that God wants to shift this church. I want to be really honest with you. You know, summertime, people take off for holidays, and it's hardly, you know, like, it's not even half the people in church. But when, you know, and that's okay to have holidays, but when you come back, you know, it's great to be on holiday mode, it's good to take off on weekends, but the church is the greatest organization that Jesus is building. And man, you and I are a part of it. And we need you here. We need your commitment to grow. We need your courage to add to us. We need your prayers. Together, we can literally, even just us, we can turn this city upside down for Jesus. Do you believe that?
Yes.
We are called to reach people for Jesus, not to live it for ourselves. And we're called to be disciples after him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I've challenged you. So let's bow our heads. And I'm going to say this prayer. And I just want you to agree with me. Are you ready? You can just agree with me. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I'm ready for a shift. I'm ready for a divine shift. So God, Father God, do a shift in me. Do a shift through me. And do a shift for me. Take me out of my comfort zones. I'm not going to play it safe anymore. I'm going to risk things for you. I'm going to get out of this ruts and routines of my life. And I want to really make a difference in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you agree with that prayer, say amen out loud. Amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks offering for the word that he's spoken to us today, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just keep your eyes. Could you just bow your heads just for a minute? Just for a couple of minutes. I need to say this to someone here. I want to say that salvation is the greatest gift that you could ever receive on this earth. Salvation is eternal life in heaven. But it's a life that on here on earth that brings blessing, that brings significance, that brings purpose to your life, gives you a whole brand new life. It's not an easy life, but it's a great life with God. And if you've never received this gift from Jesus who died on the cross for you so that you can have eternal life and salvation, here's how you receive it. You just receive it by inviting Christ into your heart. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me. See, the blessing of life is life to the full. To the full. And if that's you, and you're here, and in your heart of hearts, you know, I need a new start in my life. I need to live for God and not for me. If that's you, and you're ready to receive this new life, the Bible calls it being born again, then I want you to say this very simple prayer. And I promise you, if you say this prayer for the first time, your life will never be the same again. Are you ready? Say this word, this prayer after me. You can say it in your heart. Say it to Christ. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross. You shed your blood for me. I believe you rose from the grave. Today, Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be Master, Lord, and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer, you're here, you said that prayer for the very first time, I want you to just raise your hand and just wave it up and just look at me if you said that prayer. We said that prayer. You received Christ. Anyone? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.